ascension is such a weird story. Jesus floats into the sky and disappears into the clouds. And like I told the kids, it's supposed to jog this memory that the Old Testament prophet and kings, Elijah, instead of dying, does the same thing. He's taken up to the sky, and his mantle floats down to his disciple, Elisha, and he continues on the work. But again, people don't float, right? I've never floated. And so it's strange. It's strange to think about this story. And I had a hard time picking a bulletin cover for today because there are so many ridiculous options out there. There's a lot of pictures of Jesus' toes dangling from the ceiling of the pictures with the disciples flailing underneath. One church even has in their ceiling, their fresco, just some toes. You know, it's strange, like clay feet sticking out of the ceiling of this church. I don't know. You also get the abstract options like the whirlwind, a staircase to nowhere, floating angel heads. I don't know. It's strange. Jesus today is beamed up like Star Trek. And so I finally landed on this one because it kind of looks like Jesus is assuming a Superman pose. Dun, 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 dun. But all of this, like, thinking and reflecting about ascension triggered another story for me. For last Friday, our preschool had their annual butterfly release. And for weeks this spring, they've been watching these teeny tiny little caterpillars in their classrooms. They've watched them nibble and crawl. And then each one of these caterpillars formed a cocoon, this hard shell little sleeping bag. And then one day, these cocoons cracked open to reveal beautiful painted lady butterflies. It's always fascinating to me how these fuzzy little worms turn into such magnificent creatures that are so different. Anyway, last Friday was release day, and it was beautiful and sunny. And I was really impressed that all these kids were okay letting them go. Because if I had watched these butterflies daily in my classroom, I would feel really sad. I would get way too attached. I was also worried because there was a hungry robin on the roof of our building. You know, eyeing. But anyway, this butterfly release really triggered this story for me. For I feel like the disciples at the bottom of this picture, waving their arms in the air, saying, "Don't leave us. Wait. Stay. I'm not ready for you to leave." I struggle with ascension because, first, it is weird, but also, why does it have to happen? In so many ways, I wish Jesus was still around. I feel like we could use some leadership around here, some guidance and direction. For the dumpster fires are pretty bright these days. They're stinky, and they're blazing hot, and they're painful, and they feel so powerful. Global news of worsening climate change and famine and war. National news of lawsuits and hate. Local lives filled with sickness and brokenness and anxiety. I actually want to shout at these clouds, "Jesus, how dare you leave us at a time like this?" And yet the story of ascension actually reminds us how much that my voice shouting, how much of a lie that actually is. For in the story of ascension, the disciples and we are reminded that Jesus has cracked open this barrier between heaven and earth. We just proclaimed it in the creed that Jesus has defeated all boundaries, God and human, life and death. It's like that glass elevator that Ronald Dahl designs for Charlie's Chocolate Factory. No place is off limits for God. Up, down, east, west, diagonal, upside down. Jesus is divine and human, the ultimate superhero. Up there, and Jesus also lives here. think that's why we hear this story again in Acts. We actually heard the same story twice today. It's how the Gospel of Luke ends, and it's how the book of Acts begins. And yet, in the Acts version, after Jesus leaves, we get these two disciples that remind, these two angels that remind the disciples, staring up at the sky, reaching for the clouds, to stop craning your necks. God may be up there, but God is also here, too. In fact, God is everywhere. Perhaps this is a concept that our congregation understands pretty well. After all, so many of you are nomads who parachute in and out with your work that you can't fully tell me about. But I think at Faith Lutheran, we understand this concept, this context. We get that our time is limited, and we can trust that wherever we go, God goes with us too. These beautiful relationships aren't permanent or stationary, and that's what makes them so special. The mystery and madness of ascension promises us that God's love will continue. It'll continue to find us, even when the markers that made it so real in the first place are no longer present. Faith unfurls over a million little moments, little glimpses of God's love and acceptance and grace from different people and different places. And sometimes we're able to pick up that baton and be that love for someone else. And sometimes the baton of love comes to us from places we least expect. And today we have two beautiful examples of this. Little Eliana's baptism and the Lauritsen family joining our church community today. We give thanks for their witness among us, and we know that the relationships with these folks will change us. And that's the beauty of Christian community, that it is constantly evolving and changing. But through it all, Christ promises to be in our midst. Next weekend, our synod, our regional church of 72 congregations in Maryland and D.C. and Northern Virginia, we are all going to gather together to elect a new bishop. And honestly, I'm a little sad that Bishop Ortiz isn't running again, for she baptized Phoebe. She's the one that brought me here to Metro D.C. to you all here at Faith 2 years ago. And I have found her to be a deep, an honest public theologian. I'm sad that her leadership is coming to an end. Not only because it makes my job harder on the Bishop Election Committee, we have met almost 20 times preparing for next weekend. It's gonna be a long one, I can just feel it. But also because I value her perspective, her guidance, and her encouragement. And yet, just as Jesus floated into the sky and promised to give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in this time, in this moment, I have to believe and trust that whoever is called to be our next bishop will also have the Holy Spirit within them. We never do this work of being the church alone. And that's something we really need to remember in this wild time we find ourselves living in. If you think about all the things that have happened in the last 6 years of life, it's pretty amazing. Bishop Ortiz has led us through a global pandemic, through the reckoning of George Floyd, through so many things. And we don't know what the next 6 years will bring. So perhaps the work, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is that we can be less attached to the individuals and more open to the concept that the Holy Spirit is with us, no matter who is leading. And so I wanted to close with the last page of Bishop Ortiz's report, her parting words and blessing, because I think it's just this beautiful image of this ongoing transformation that we do, this work that we do together as church. And so she writes, "At this time, I offer not a list of accomplishments, but an invitation to continue transformation. The work we have begun together is not complete. Indeed, it is the nature of God's kingdom that it is always unfolding, always becoming, always calling us deeper into discipleship. And so I invite you to continue the practices that have sustained us in these challenging times. Brave truth-telling that names both our complicity and our capacity for change. Holy experimentation that values faithfulness over success. Radical hospitality that welcomes the stranger and centers the marginalized. Prophetic witness that speaks and acts for justice in public spaces. Spiritual depth that grounds all our work in prayer and scripture. And collaborative partnership that transcends traditional boundaries. Remember, dear ones, that the goal is not institutional survival, but kingdom witness. Not preserving what was, but participating in what God is doing now. Trust that the God who has brought you this far will continue to guide your way. Beloved siblings in Christ, as I prepare to conclude my service as your bishop, I offer you this blessing and prayer. O Holy One who calls into being and sustains us by your grace, I give thanks for the privilege of serving this synod for these 6 years. For every moment of challenge and celebration, for every tear shed and joy shared, for every truth spoken and transformation witnessed, I offer my gratitude. Bless this community as it continues the journey of faithful witness. Grant wisdom to those who will lead, courage to those who will follow, and a vision to all who seek your guidance. May the congregations of this synod be beacons of hope in a troubled world, communities of welcome in a divided society, voices of justice amid systems of oppression, and embodiments of love in a time of fear. As I take my leave, I trust this community in your care, confident that the one who began a good work will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Remember, dear ones, that you do not walk this path alone. You have each other. You have the cloud of witnesses who have gone before you. And most importantly, you have the presence of the risen Christ, who promises to be with you always to the end of the age. May you continue in Christ's word. May you live and lead as Jesus' disciples, unafraid of and inspired by the truth. And may you boldly claim and embody the freedom you have in Jesus for such a time and place as this. With God's help and in Jesus' name, amen. Happy Ascension Day, dear church. Thanks be to God. Amen.